This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The tragedy of Charles Lieber, Harvard chemistry professor, chairman of the department until his fall from grace. I read from the Wall Street Journal's report. Prosecutors and defense lawyers delivered opening statements in the closely watched trial of Harvard chemistry professor Charles Lieber. This is Dateline the 15th. We now have a verdict, very quick verdict in this trial. Professor Lieber is judged guilty by a jury of his peers. Guilty of what? Six criminal counts over what the Department of Justice said were false statements to federal investigators. However, this can't be the whole story because it involves links to the People's Republic of China that is non-transparent, that does not cooperate. So I turn to someone who has done a great deal of work in understanding how the People's Republic of China and its agents are using American Academy, investing in American Academy, seeking members of the American Academy in order to, well, not good practices. Craig Singleton, the China fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's taught me about how the Confucius Institutes have been used for many years to find a place on the campus and then to either recruit or influence. However, that doesn't draw a direct link to what I'm seeing with the trial of Charles Lieber from the 14th and 15th of December until now. Craig, a very good evening to you. Charles Lieber's fall from grace is a tragedy. How is it that China has in some fashion corrupted this very noble man who spent a lifetime to rise to the post of chairman of the chemistry department at Harvard University? Good evening to you, Craig.
Thanks, John. So failure to disclose foreign affiliations and foreign funding can pose serious threats to U.S. national security. And as these methods are used by China to develop talent networks that can later be tapped for non-public information, the Lieber case served as a real barometer for the Justice Department's China initiative, which is intended to cut down on trade secret theft and to counter China's efforts to blur the traditional boundaries between academia, military research, and the private sector. And those efforts make illicit knowledge and technology transfer very difficult to detect. And in this particular case, in the case of China, whose own leader Xi Jinping has said that China will exhaust all means necessary to catapult the country to the forefront of scientific development, that includes pilfering U.S. higher education to get that advantage.
The trial of Charles Lieber, however, it was so quick. It just went bang, bang, bang. The 15th, we have the report. The 20th, we have the verdict. The jury did not deliberate very long because I understand there were recordings, there were bank statements, there was deception practiced by the professor in front of the FBI, which of course is a transgression that always leads to guilty verdicts. The Chinese must have known he was vulnerable. Does that matter to him? Is this some fashion of trying to undermine the academy by corrupting leaders?
Well, you're right. In a dramatic video shown at Lieber's trial, he denied having brought back thousands of dollars from China before acknowledging he put it in his luggage and spent it on groceries to avoid paying income taxes. Lieber and others like him have been sort of swept up in something called the Thousand Talents Program. So the Chinese government established the Thousand Talents Program in 2008 to recruit Chinese and select foreign nationals and elite overseas programs like Harvard to support China's competitiveness in science and in innovation. And in exchange for providing China with insight into cutting-edge tech, participants like Professor Lieber enter into non-public contracts with the Chinese government and receive tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars for their expertise.
So this story is not a one-off. This represents a much larger story that's ongoing that we don't have details of. Is that correct, Craig?
Absolutely. And as part of the China initiative, which does have a you know, a checkered track record, there have been a number of very serious convictions. Look, China does not see a distinction between the open fundamental research carried out at universities and more proprietary industrial or military research. You know, so why should U.S. academia or U.S. higher education? There are very important ethical and moral imperatives here, ones that require us to rethink how we as a society view risk in the broader research enterprise. More specifically, there are integrity risks that obviously result from collaborating with problematic Chinese entities, which, among other things, enable Chinese human rights abuses and other forms of repression.
Your report about the Confucius Institutes and about China recruiting on campus or influencing on campus, that report suggests to me that this is so widespread that it's accepted in some fashion by higher education authorities. Harvard is the top of the top here. Are the deans talking about how vulnerable they are to this kind of a deliberate cash corruption that they can't, they don't have the resources to police their campus. And so allowing the Chinese authorities in any fashion to come close brings in the risk. Is that something that's well known in academy, that if you play with fire, you get burnt?
I think in a lot of cases, we have to recognize that U.S. higher education is under no obligation to perform any due diligence on any of these academic and research partnerships with Chinese entities or individuals. Professors like Professor Lieber and others like him, you know, China has really managed to exploit cleavages in our legal and regulatory loopholes to ensure that they are not arrested for things like espionage, but in this case, tax evasion.
Right.
And so the Chinese really do understand how our higher academic enterprise operates, where there are gaps in our regulatory and legal schemes, and has sort of weaponized them to their advantage. I do think at least this is a gut check moment for U.S. higher education. Many of the schools, both in my report and Harvard and MIT, receive tens, hundreds, if not millions of dollars from the Chinese government for lots of different research projects and initiatives. There is no limit on how much money they can take, and many of them don't report the donations from Chinese sources correctly or accurately. And all of these things have sort of brought about a reckoning in U.S. higher education as it relates to China. We're only just sort of scratching the surface about how far and how deep the roots of this problem go.
Your report is a revelation to me, and I'm going to guess it's a revelation to many authorities. Is there a change in the weather underway, Craig? The revelations about the academy suggesting to others that there must be something done, that sitting back and saying the academy is free to do what it will endangers national security. Is that something that's commonplace to talk about now?
I think legislators are starting to open their eyes. I think whether it relates to U.S. higher education or even U.S. companies that are operating in parts of China where there is forced labor or other human rights atrocities taking place, we're starting to ask some pretty uncomfortable questions about our entanglements with the Chinese government and the Chinese military. I will say, though, that still there is a tremendous amount of resistance throughout U.S. higher education when you talk about this issue. There are attempts to label directives like the China initiative as xenophobic or racist. The reality, though, is that we are dealing with a once-in-a-generation sort of threat or challenge. We did not host tens of thousands of Soviet scientists and researchers on our campuses during the Cold War, yet there are hundreds of thousands of Chinese students on our campus. Not all, most, I would argue, are not involved in anything illegal or untoward, but a percentage of them are. And we need to develop some common sense guardrails to screen out those that are most problematic and to really focus our efforts on curtailing China's ability to exploit U.S. higher education to further its own military modernization.
Craig Singleton of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, the Wall Street Journal line ringing. The verdict returned after less than 3 hours of deliberations marks a stunning fall for Professor Lieber. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Anthony's Ocean View in New Haven is Connecticut's most elegant wedding and banquet facility, now booking your private and shared holiday events. Enjoy exquisite cuisine and breathtaking water views in their gorgeous banquet rooms. And right now they're offering trays to go for Thanksgiving. Online at anthonysoceanview.com.